Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Overdue library books. You got any?
No. I also don't have any library books, nor do I think I have any books full stop.
Oh, that's right. You don't read. I always forget this about you.
I know. I'm not a fan of reading. I've got into audiobooks.
Yeah.
So that kind of counts, sort of.
What was the last thing you actually read? Like, even just, I mean, you would have read some scripts here at the station.
Yeah.
You read probably your emails and Twitter, but you've never actually sat down and read, like, a terms and conditions or a contract or your tax.
Has anyone read the terms and conditions or anything?
You do make a good point.
So you buy something on iTunes. It's like, I don't have 3 weeks to do legal reading. I just want to download this app.
So you're not likely to find an old library book from school down the side of the couch?
I mean, maybe I am. I don't know.
So a Guinness World Record has been set for the largest book fine ever paid.
Also, someone had a book out for so long that it incurred such a massive fine.
Yep.
There's a Guinness World Record for this.
$345 was the fine for a book that was taken out in, what was it, 1955? Yeah.
How much was it again?
$345.14.
That doesn't seem high enough.
Doesn't seem steep.
For a book that was taken out, what, 30 years ago almost now?
Well, if you were running a library, Jordan, how much would you be charging?
Well, I wouldn't be charging a library. But you go like a dollar a day? That's kind of...
Oh, you're harsh.
Is that... Well, get your books back on time.
I guess that's one way. You've definitely put the firm hand of book justice down there.
Do we know what book it was?
Yeah, it was called Days and the Deeds. It's a book of children's poems.
Tell you what, I do know this from my limited amount of library knowledge.
Yeah.
If there is a book out that you want, you can kind of reserve it so when it comes back in, they'll contact you and then you can get the book.
Yeah.
I hope this one wasn't reserved for the next person.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because imagine how any day now they're going to ring me. The kids' poems, whatever it's called, is going to be there. It's going to come on. Today's the day. I can feel it. And then... No.
So the girl's name is Emily Sims. She's the one that's received the book fine. Mm-hmm. Regardless of it was her mum that actually took the book out. You got to pay your parents' debts and all of that.
Exactly.
So the fine accumulated at 2 cents a day, and it was returned 47 years after it was originally booked.
Ouch.
Yep. So yeah, it's right up there with one of the longest books ever to not return to the library.
And the people at Guinness World Records, this is an official record.
Yeah. My favourite one, though, is, do you know what is the longest borrowed book ever?
Off the top of my head, no.
Well, the longest one since records began is damn George Washington borrowed a book, The Law of Nations, from the New York Library, didn't return it 220 years later.
Yeah,
I mean, you're holding out hope if that's going to come back.
I don't think you're going to get that copy of it. I reckon just let that one go and we'll move on.
Let it go?
Just buy another copy of the book. You've got $300 from this fine. You can afford a new copy of the book.
And it brings us to a top five library books in your house that you have not returned.
Top five! So is this in my house specifically? Have you been snooping around my house?
Just in general. Anyone's house. Coming in at number five is The Da Vinci Code.
I think that's a movie.
No, it's a book.
Was it a book?
Yeah. Boy, I'm talking to someone here who hasn't got a clue.
I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks was in that, wasn't he?
Talking to someone who hasn't read a book in, what, since you graduated high school?
I think I read Specky McGee back in year six.
That's high, yeah.
That's an AFL-related kids novel book.
Yeah. All right, we're going to struggle through this.
I think I read the second one as well. There was two Specky McGee books.
Coming in at number four is Commerce and Economics 3, which you borrowed, you know, when you're on your way to uni, but you never finished the degree. You never took the book back.
Actually, that's a good point. I think I do have some uni books still lying around.
Coming in at number three is The Never-Ending Story, because it's not your fault. You still haven't finished it.
I mean, the author, when he came up with the title for that book, he really hasn't done himself any favours.
No.
So what are you? I'm just writing. I can't finish it.
If that one's overdue, you'd be like, look, it's never-ending. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Okay? I still haven't finished it. Can I reserve this and take it out again in 2 weeks?
I mean, I don't want to shatter the illusion, but physically, it is ending. It's not like an infinite book. It's got 300 pages or whatever it has, and then that's it.
Coming in at number two on books that you've borrowed and haven't returned, Where's Wally?
Still looking for Wally?
Yeah, still looking for him, but you haven't managed to find him yet.
He's on page 39 behind that stack of overdue library books.
And for some reason, it always keeps on, you know, every time you've moved house, it somehow gets in the box. You haven't found Wally, but you've found the book several times.
You found what?
You've found the book. Like heaps of times, but you've never returned it.
Wait, the book called The Book?
The book called Where's Wally?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you've moved house heaps of times. You probably borrowed it when you were still in grade 3.
Mm-hmm.
And just keeps on showing up.
Bloody Wally, he just gets everywhere.
And coming in at number one on books that you've borrowed and haven't returned is Nikki Webster's biography.
Does she have a biography?
Seemed like essential reading at the time, but...
Hang on, Simo. Don't play the next song. Have you got this book and have you read it?
No, I made it up.
Simo and Jordan.
It's time for How Good Is That?
How good is that?
It's brilliant, Jordan.
Well, is it? We don't know. We've got a whole load of items here. We're trying to work out how good they are. Maybe they're terrible. Maybe they're brilliant. Maybe they're just average. We don't know. If you've got an opinion on whatever the item is for today, get in contact. 64572977. Hop on the phone. Give us a call. Simo, we don't know what the item is yet.
Not a clue.
It could be anything.
Let's find out.
Pre-washing dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. 3, 2, 1, go.
Yes.
No.
All right, we're at an impasse.
What's your reasoning for yes?
No, what's your reasoning for no?
Oh, it's a stalemate.
Yeah.
Okay, I have never pre-washed dishes before chucking them in the dishwasher.
Okay.
I think this comes down to laziness.
Mm.
But you put them in the dishwasher. It's a dishwasher. It washes the dishes. It washes all the crap off.
Yep.
Admittedly, if you've let it, like, bake on, you've got to soak that stuff. Mm. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But if you just chuck it in the dishwasher, it'll get rid of everything 99.9% of the time. And if it doesn't, just leave it in there, let it go again, and it'll fix it.
Okay, so the ultimate kind of young man's dish, the spaghetti bolognese.
Yes.
What happens?
So will I eat the spaghetti bolognese?
Yeah. Then where to?
Very important step.
Where to from there, Jordan?
Then it goes straight in the dishwasher.
Okay, right.
And the fork goes in the little... Actually, that's a little thing. You know the cutlery thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it meant to go... So imagine a fork. Is it meant to go prongs up or prongs down?
That's like a whole other thing. I don't actually know the answer to that one.
Neither do I. I just kind of do whatever I'm feeling.
That little bit of kind of space for the cutlery, that is just a chaos, like...
Oh, yeah.
That's the chaos plane, like...
So if you do put a fork in prongs down and then when you go to pull it out when it's all done, if you pull out the fork, it can bring about 3 knives and a spoon onto the floor as well.
Yeah, well, that and also if it's the other way around, you prong your own hand when you're gripping around to try and get cutlery.
And that's something that I try to do with my day-to-day life is not prong my hand.
But then there's the other thing is like if you go prongs down, right, it can go through towards like through the actual shelf. You know, like the...
Through the basket?
Yeah, through the basket shelf thing, and then it'll scrape your dishwasher on the way out.
How I'm trying to work this out. How big are the holes in the basket in your dishwasher, or how small are your forks?
big, that they
go through the holes in the basket. We've run out of background music. That's how long we've been talking about pronged forks.
Big enough for it to be a problem.
Okay.
Okay? The holes are big enough for it to be an issue, and the cutlery is thin enough for them to be a menace.
Well, Simo, what is a problem is people that wash dishes before they put them in the dishwasher, because it doesn't have to be done.
So what, you're just classing that as a waste of water? Is that what you'd...
Waste of water, waste of time, more or less. I managed to convince 2 housemates that they don't have to do it. They were staunched. No, pre-washer, what are you doing? And one day I said, no, come on, let's do this. Let's just put the dishes in pre-rinsed.
Mm-hmm.
If they come out dirty, I personally will wash them. I put my time on the line, and they came out bright and shiny, and my housemates' minds were blown.
Whereas I know full well what's happened there is you've gone, just put them straight in. Like, they've said to you, like, pre-wash them, mate. Like, it's going to be dirty. You've gone, no. I'll take it upon myself. I will wash them if they don't come out right the first time. And I know you, which means full well you've just put it on a second cycle.
Look, you might not be 100% wrong.
Simo and Jordan.
In Griffith in New South Wales, arranged over Facebook for 2 men to come around to his house to carry around a fantasy.
I've seen this.
One of those, a fantasy
things.
Yes,
yeah,
one of those.
One of those scenarios where someone wants something to happen which is out of the ordinary. Mm. They pay an exorbitant amount of money.
In this case, $5,000.
Correct. And it's the kind of things you don't want to do in broad daylight and also in front of other people.
So the fantasy in question was that this man in Griffith wanted two men to break into his house in the middle of the night.
That's right.
With machetes, massive knives.
Yep.
They wanted to tie up the man from Griffith in only his underwear.
Yes.
Before then getting stroked by a broom.
Yeah, odd. But, you know, it's good to have hobbies and know what you like.
And apparently this was all going to, you know, if that's what you want to do and you can find two men that want to take part.
That's it.
In the privacy of your own home, that's fine.
He's kind of, you know, it's like maybe he played a lot of Quidditch at a young age. That's why the broom's involved now.
Mm.
Don't know.
I mean, we don't know. This is all confirmed. One thing that is so very important is if you are going to arrange two men to break into your house in the middle of the night with machetes to tie you up in your underwear and then stroke you with a broom.
There's one detail you want to get really right.
You really want to make sure you get the address right.
Get the address correct.
This guy... This is so ridiculous.
Mate, it's nuts.
So this guy did get the address right. However, in the time between booking the two men in to come in to break into his house and it actually happening, moved house and moved 50 kilometres away and someone else moved into the house.
It's so hard to get good help, especially when you want them to, like, stroke you with a broomstick.
Mm.
Very difficult to get good help when it comes to that.
Very difficult to find two people that will stroke you with a broomstick.
So, you know, in that space and time, maybe he's forgot that he posted the job ad.
Perhaps.
And then he's moved house, address has changed. You've got to keep that stuff updated.
So, yeah, so Simo, the two men, as was arranged, go to the address that they think is the right address.
That's right, yep.
Break into the house at 6 o'clock in the morning, armed with machetes and rope to tie up the person and brooms. And they are woken by... Look, I got some quotes from the... From the guy who was actually living in the house, who wasn't expecting this to happen.
Yeah, the new homeowner, who's just kind of an innocent bystander.
Exactly. He woke up when he heard a commotion, turned on the light, removed his sleep apnea mask, and then woke up to see two people standing above their bed with machetes that they had brought.
Oh, it'd be absolutely terrifying.
When they realised the error, one of the pair said, quote, "Sorry, mate." Shook the resident's hand and left.
Yeah, that I read that as well. So I guess it's a good feel story, really.
Well,
everyone's happy. No one's in harm's way, and everyone goes about their business.
Well, I mean, this happened in July 2019, and the reason why it's made news now is because it is in court now.
Yeah, exactly.
For perhaps, you know.
Could be. The judge has acquitted everyone, hasn't he?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The judge has acquitted. Yeah, it is a feel-good story.
Yeah, there's no problems there.
And a weird day for that judge as well.
Just a case of mistaken identity.
Like my brother's been...
Is this the right house? The decor seems different.
Yeah. Well, like, my brother's been through law school. I think he's doing it now. And he's been doing that for years.
Yeah.
I just imagine that's what this judge would have had to do. Yeah. Study for years and years and years. And then you're like, yes, I've got my judge's... mallet, whatever it is. I'm just trying to think of what I see on Judge Judy. And now this is the case that I have to look at.
Yeah, I reckon they probably omitted a few quotes there apart from the sorry mate.
I'm 100% sure they did.
It probably started with, oh, you got a mask there. That's extra. If you still want us to use the broom and you want to wear the mask, that's going to cost you a bit extra.
You seem like you know a lot about this and how it all works. Anything you want to admit to?
No, I haven't given anyone my address, that's for sure.
Simo and Jordan.
Fishing, Jordan. You don't strike me as someone that would enjoy dropping a line.
Look, I mean, fishing, I can see. I have friends that enjoy fishing. I can see how it's a fun way to spend a day.
Yeah, well, I lived in a fishing capital / fishing fleet for like 2 years. People get around it, and locally as well.
But Simo, myself personally, all of my fish tends to come from the freezer section of the local supermarket.
Have you ever caught a fish with your own rod?
No.
You never?
I don't think I've ever held a fishing rod.
Yeah, right. Okay. Any reason for that? Don't want to give it a crap?
No, I've just never been around fishing rods. I've seen them. I roughly know how they work.
Yeah, there's a reel on there.
There's a windy thingy.
Yep.
And a line and some bait on the end. Mm. So I got all the lingo down pat.
Yeah, I caught a fish.
Just I haven't done it before.
Once I caught a fish.
Did you?
Mm,
did you? Were you trying to catch a fish?
Yep.
Okay, what type of fish was it?
It was a King George whiting.
How big was
King
it?
King George, yeah.
You could just say any fish. I'm not going to check.
Yeah, it was one of
I
those.
I caught a tuna.
Caught it off
check.
The jetty as well. It was a pretty good effort for an eight-year-old.
How large was the fish in centimetres?
No, it was big as my head.
Which is, as an eight-year-old...
was quite sizable. I was had a Jimmy Neutron head.
So his head was massive and then his kind of body grew into his head.
But police over in the UK have responded to a river where a member...
Okay,
of,
just... What was the river doing? The river was committing crimes.
Where a member of the public fished out an unexploded World War II grenade.
Wow.
While casting a line.
Yeah, you don't expect to do that when you're just casually fishing.
Like you say, there's a really thingy on there. Do you reckon you'd reel it up and then do you reckon you'd reel it down?
Well... It would certainly be an option.
What would you do?
Would you
just chuck the whole rod in? You'd swim away.
Well, no, because I don't know much about grenades, but if this is an unexploded grenade that's been sitting there since World War II, it's probably quite volatile and you probably don't want to drop it
in
case something happens.
Yeah, so what would you do?
Panic. I think panic.
But remain calm.
No, just panic and run.
So the local police were then called to deal with it. So it was...
There you go, your problem now.
It was reeled in, the device believed to be a World War II era grenade, and then they took it to the local college.
Okay.
And then that's...
We got some troubled school kids that they want to deal with. Just, here you go, whoops.
No.
What happened there? Oh, we're so clumsy.
I get them excited. They did a controlled explosion on the local oval.
Okay.
So all of the kids, you know, on recess, were like, whoa, this is cool. So it's, you know.
Well, not all the kids. The poor kids that want to play football or something. Like, well, now our oval's been blown up.
So the grenade was destroyed in a controlled explosion.
Mm.
Authorities have said unexploded military devices from World War II are often found in these cities. So it wasn't a complete surprise, but... At the same time, apparently the guy that fished it out had a bit of a... He was a little bit like... Ugh.
Can I just ask, how did it come about that the police found the grenade and thought, I know what we'll do, we'll go to the local school?
I don't know.
Did the police phone the school and say, oh, we've got this grenade? Does any kids want to watch it explode? Or is like one of the police officers a dad or a mother that goes, the kid goes to the school? Or does the school contact the police like months ago and say, oh, just random question, but if you get any grenades, any unexploded World War II grenades, let us know, because the Year 6 is doing a project on them. They would love it. How does that happen?
Maybe it was the military unexploded ordnance team that took care of it. So maybe one of them, like his kid, was doing show and tell that day.
Oh, you have one show and tell for life.
Simo and Jordan.
Sometimes when we're doing the show, the look for kind of content and things to talk about, it can be a bit tricky to find stuff.
Yeah.
And then on other days, things just fall into your hands and you don't have to do any work.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday was one of those days when, Simo, I found the perfect new career for you.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're in the market for a new job, but this job has become available. And, Simo, it fits you perfectly in every single way, shape and form.
All right, I'm excited.
Nestle have announced they're looking for an adult version of the Milky Bar Kid.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm into that. That's a win for me.
Well, if you don't know the Milky Bar Kid, he's got this catchphrase. I think we've got it here.
The Milky Bars are on me.
And he kind of goes around dressed up in a cowboy's hat, glasses, giving people Milky Bar chocolate.
Yeah, I've long been heralded as the Milky Bar Kid.
So, see, my Nestle are looking for someone to be the adult Milky Bar Kid.
Nice.
If you're successful in your application, you'll be able to taste the new Milky Bar flavours, still in development phase, be treated to a free supply of Milky Bars, plus the opportunity to feature in marketing campaigns, media interviews, and you'll be able to wear a custom-made Milky Bar Kid uniform. Plus a couple of other more things as well.
Is there, like, restrictions? Do you have to be a certain height, you know, like when you go on roller coasters and stuff?
Well, I've got the experience and qualifications thing.
Yes.
I actually printed off, like, the full job application that's on Seek.
Oh, I'm so here for this. All right. Yep, I've got my little ding ready.
Okay, so, Simo, experience and qualifications. You must be a mega Milky Bar fan. Love white and milk chocolate. Feel forever young. Don't take your life too seriously. And be aged 18 or older.
Oh!
See, this is perfect.
I'm in with a chance,
you
surely.
You even look a bit like the Milky Bar Kid.
Thank you.
I mean, Simo, you're blonde as well, and Milky Bar Kid's blonde.
The Milky Bars are on me.
So, Simo, what I thought I would do is we'll just... let's just. So I want you to become this, the new Milky Bar.
So do I.
adult kid.
I reckon I'm in with a chance.
So, Simo, I have self-appointed myself your campaign manager.
Ah, yes.
In order to make this happen.
Whatever you need to do, Jordan.
So I will get in touch with the people from Nestle a little bit later on today, see if we can book an interview or something like that.
Yeah, if you need headshots done, let me know.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because I've actually...
Oh, no. Did you? You did,
I brought a plastic
you?
Bag into the studio. Yeah. You don't know what's in here.
I think I do. I'm just going to have a guess. Should I have a guess? Is it a full Milky Bar costume?
No. Because it was very short notice and I couldn't arrange one. I came up with like a substitute Milky Bar kind of costume. So the Milky Bar kid.
Is this just stuff you had lying around home?
Yes. Yes, it is. So Simo, the Milky Bar kid, he wears glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find any, so I got you a big, giant novelty pair of women's sunglasses.
Ah, nice. Yeah, those... You were wearing... The funny thing about this is you bought these with the purpose of wearing them.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
And then you were wearing them and you're like, caught yourself in the window one day, you're like, are these women's sunglasses?
And then, yeah, I think they are and they haven't worked.
Ah, yeah.
All right, there you go, Simo. You've beautiful. Put the sunglasses on. The Milky Bar kid also wears a cowboy's hat.
Nice.
Now, I couldn't... find a cowboy's hat. I didn't have one at home.
Really? That surprises me.
I know, it really does. So I substituted in my skiing helmet.
I thought you might.
So there you go, Simo. Just pop that on. Okay. Have you got it? Is that right, pop on?
Okay. Oh, wow. Look at those. There's so many Milky Bars in there.
What's in the Milky Bar? What's in the helmet?
Look at there. There's so many Milky...
There's Milky Bars in the helmet. Where did they come from, Simo? I didn't buy them. Maybe this is a sign that you should be the Milky Bar kid, because I didn't go out and buy them. Actually, I did. I bought more, but it doesn't fit in the helmet.
The Milky Bars are on me.
All right, so, Simo, you've got the sunnies on.
Yeah.
Got the ski helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just... So we got the catchphrase here again.
Oh,
Do we have that once more?
Yeah, here it is.
The Milky Bars are on me.
There you go.
All right, just step a little bit away from the microphone so it doesn't yell.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just get into character. So you're the skiing Milky Bar kid adult.
Method acting.
All right, go. Give us the line.
The Milky Bars are on me.
Right, I will get into contact with the people who make Milky Bars, whoever it is, and we will get this happening. So I'm going to be your campaign manager.
Simo and Jordan.